afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. My co-host today is Dave Allen, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is February 16th, 2021. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, happy Tuesday, Melody.
Happy Tuesday to you, too. And many of us had off yesterday due to President's Day, and we're back to normal today. Business is open. Business has been good and had a little bit of a pullback. The gold and silver markets, 1 minute they're up, 1 minute they're down. Same way with the paper markets. Early morning trade, the Dow was, 200 points to the upside, and then it went negative throughout the day. Then it came back, then it went negative, and we'll have to see where it's at. Gold was kind of the same kind of a roller coaster type of a day. Right now, we're at $17.95 in the New York spot price after market, down 23 bucks. That's kind of where it started off this morning. But we did have a high of 1,815, and that's kind of a swing we had. So we're at 1795.80. Silver was down 32 cents. It was closing in on 28 this morning. Right now we're at 27.33. Platinum was down 40 bucks at 1266. Platinum was down 2418. The USDX today was up 0.14, but it's only a 90.50. It's not like it's running up to 95 or 96. Crude oil was up 74 cents at $60.21. We're going to be talking a little bit about oil today. We're going to be talking a little bit about inflation today. We're going to be talking about the 10-year yield today. I mean, that's just soaring. You know, we have oil prices close to a 13-month high. Of course, it was supported by partly by the Texas deep freeze. And what else are we going to be talking about today? I saw an interesting article today. The U.S. bankruptcy tracker healthcare shows more cracks, which I thought was kind of interesting. And lots of other things. So let's go ahead and get to the paper markets. Paper markets are coming. The Dow is up 76 points, 31,534. The NASDAQ is down 47, 14,047. The S&P is down 2, 3,932. 10-year yield. You can't say that fast three times. 1.30%. The euro is holding at 121. That was down a little bit, not by much. We have Bitcoin soaring past 50,000 for the first time. Yoo-hoo! And let's see what else. Japan was up 1.25%. But the Bitcoin went back down to 48,000. Well, that's where what I'm looking at now. So, all in all, it was roller coaster kind of a day, Dave, in the markets.
excuse me. The biggest fund manager, I think, in the world, BlackRock, sold.
Disgusting.
They sold almost 3 million shares in the Spider Gold Trust. That's the largest gold ETF, and bought 1.2 million shares of silver in the iShares Silver Trust. Now, it turns out, let's see, what is that worth? It was $471 million worth of gold, bought $29 million worth of silver. So talk about being able to manipulate the market, Melody. Watch out for the big boys.
Yeah, and you know what, BlackRock, you know, they're the government store. I mean, you know, they get all these contracts, and you know, they do. And I'm not a fan of BlackRock at all. I mean, you know, the Fed's using them to buy all of their deals, you know, to buy all their corporate debt and everything else. And so, yeah, I'm not a fan of BlackRock. So, yeah,
Nope.
they're up to no good. So hang in there and don't allow these pressures on gold and silver think that anything has changed. You know, because they're in there and they're not bashful about it anymore. And so they'll do what they need to do. So I think things are just going to be breaking out soon for whatever reason. But we can certainly see a lot of volatility when you have these funds moving in and out of these markets. And when you can have an impact on one market, and it'll affect maybe the whole sector. So hang in there. And, you know, there is product to buy. We can lock in gold and silver eagles. Our premiums are still the lowest. You can get something else. You can buy the kangaroos. The premium isn't as high as the gold eagles. They're a little bit faster delivery, and that's okay. Bullion coins are bullion coins. And yeah, first I'd like to choose gold eagles, but hey, if the premium is too steep and there's delay in deliveries, well, then I'm going to take a look at what else I can get. Because the whole point is eliminating those fiat dollars and getting real money. You're getting your hedges. You're getting real money. You're getting for all the fundamental reasons that these two markets, for whatever it's going to take, whenever it's going to happen, you're protecting your purchasing power. And we're going to talk about inflation. You know, we've seen energy prices jump again today. The deep freeze in the South, the big demand for fuel. And Dave, I saw a funny cartoon. It showed a helicopter, and we might have to put it in the, well, it's a little past due because next week Dallas won't be having their freeze anymore. Hopefully they're not going to get any more freeze after this weekend.
Dallas will be back in a heat wave.
Yes, they will be. So I won't put the cartoon in the newsletter, but it showed a helicopter spraying a fuel on the windmills that they had to supply heat because they were all frozen up, and the caption was a fossil fuel helicopter using fossil fuel chemical to defrost the windmill that is supposed to be generating energy. So
Renewable energy.
we need fossil fuel, ladies and gentlemen. They can't get rid of it that easy. So it does have a place in our economy. So it was kind of funny. But back to the energy prices, we know that more than 4 million people were without power. And the majority of heating needs in the South are met by electrical baseboard or heat pumps. And heat pumps don't work at anything under what, Dave? 40? Not very well, anyway. We had the natural gas futures. They jumped 7.5% to trade at 3.13 per million BTUs. We saw gasoline futures advance more than 4%. I saw where the largest refinery shut down. So it really has, this storm really has crippled the Midwest and the Northeast, far worse than what was ever expected. You had the storm knock out about 30 gigawatts of generation capacity. So there just isn't enough supply forcing power companies to turn to the open market to buy electricity. And the bellwether West Texas intermediate crude futures broke above 60 for the first time in more than a year. And of course, it held that level all day today, or throughout most of today, Dave.
Pardon me. Well, they're saying that generating units across all different fuel types have been forced offline. Again, as Melody alluded to, including wind production. and pipeline freezes are impeding the flow of natural gas and crude oil. Texas is the largest crude oil and natural gas producer in the country and has 30 refineries. Now, the 2.6 million people in Texas without power as of yesterday, only 70,000 were impacted by downed power lines or trees. So that's telling you how the grid can be affected in a big way by these production disruptions. So it looks like 40 to 50% of natural gas production in the Permian Basin has been shut in. 50% of the wind power production is down. And a million barrels a day of crude oil production has been taken offline. Well, at least with this state of emergency declared in Texas, there may be some more imaginary federal dollars coming their way, Melody.
Why not? Why not? But yeah, I mean, we have lots and lots and lots of customers and friends down in those areas in Louisiana. I mean, they've been hit, and they've been hit really hard. You hear the stories, people going out to their cars to get warm. So if you're doing that, be careful. And they have all these rolling blackouts, and I'm sure people have seen the videos, if you watch the Weather Channel, of the power surge of the, I've never seen anything like it, where the power surge, you have a ball of energy. I guess it's energy, Dave, electricity, energy.
Yeah.
Just traveling down the power line. I mean, it's a big ball of electricity.
Yeah.
Just coming down the, I mean, it was pretty, as frightening and scary you'd have to be if you lived underneath it.
Tell you what, Melody, it's not Iron Man.
It's what?
It's not Iron Man.
It's not?
No.
Oh, darn.
I know.
But, yeah, this was the real stuff, though. And it was interesting. I've never seen anything like it before. But, you know, economic, business activity, you know, it's going to pick up, you know, as things, as we head out of winter and all of these vaccines and people feeling a little more confident and so forth. And so we see a little bit of business activity grow. A lot of it was mainly in New York State over this last month. And I don't know what's going to happen. I have a feeling they're going to be recalling Cuomo pretty quick. And kind of on the long same lines as Newsom in California, as they should. The headline General Business Conditions Index, that climbed 9 points to 12.1. Now, this is the highest level since July of 2020, and new orders increased and shipments edged higher. You had delivery times out lengthened. We have inventories grew a little bit. You have the employment levels and the average work week both increased. So looking ahead, firms kind of remained a little optimistic that conditions are going to improve, hopefully over the next 6 months. And 22% of respondents reported that conditions had improved over the month. 20% reported that the condition had worsened. So what else in that report, Dave, that's important?
Well, I think another big one was the labor market numbers. For example, their index for a number of employees working was virtually unchanged, indicating the ongoing slack in the labor market. You've got delivery times expecting to be lengthened, inventories expected to increase, future prices paid also notably higher. But, I mean, the capital expenditures index rose to its highest in over a year, and technology spending rose as well. So that even though most of that was probably on high tech, that isn't the worst of news. Now, this Empire State Index gets market attention because it's seen as a leading indicator for the National ISM Manufacturing Index, which we report on. And we know that in January, the ISM Factory Index slipped from its highest reading in more than 2 years. It was still the eighth straight month, though, above the 50% break-even point between contraction and expansion. It was at 58.7. Price pressures reflect continued growth in demand, as well as some bottlenecks in the supply chain. Actually, we'll talk a little bit more about that later in the program. So we will see. Economists obviously are watching closely to see if these price pressures spill over into the broader inflation readings. Melody.
Well, bond investors are kind of looking past last week's tepid consumer price index. That report showed U.S. inflation rising at just 1.4%. I got a bridge in Florida if you'd like it. But anyway, and continue selling out of the Treasury bonds in a big way. And, of course, we've talked about the yields from the benchmark 10-year note to pushing it to the highest since mid-March. Even at their still historically low levels, the market's rising inflation expectations are beginning to have an impact on the real economy, because it pushes mortgages higher, credit cards and auto loan rates are going higher. It makes it more expensive. Mortgage rates, for instance, increased in four of the first 6 weeks of 2021, with the 30-year fixed rate increasing to 2.96%. Now, this is a high that hadn't seen since last November. Refinances declined, and their share of the total application dipped to the lowest level in 3 months. You have credit card balances and other revolving credit lines. That actually fell by 10.8% year over year in December. That was the steepest decline ever. With the notable expectation of mortgages and student loans, Americans consistently reduced and took on less debt as we continue to see that, you know, the pressures, from this, from the pandemic, Dave.
Yeah, we again are seeing banks tightening their lending standards, cutting back lending, with the loan books at the large U.S. banks in particular shrinking for the first time in more than a decade, and just the second time in almost three. But the interest rate trends are beginning to reverse as investors price in higher inflation expectations and push bond yields higher.
Well, that popped up quick, Dave. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. We were just finishing up about the inflation expectations, how it's pushing up the interest rates, how it will affect each and every one of us who is looking to acquire more debt, and or it will affect our credit cards and loans and anything you'd like to finish that up with, Dave? Or
well, the only thing I'd say, just to put some meat behind how we ended the first segment, was that the 10-year break-even inflation expectations rose to over 2.25% on Friday. That's the highest since 2014. And it essentially means that investors are now pricing in annual inflation, average inflation, of 2.25% for the next 10 years. And that's reflected in the Treasury's bellwether 10-year yield. So what it holds for the future, I mean, time will tell whether this is just a short-term thing or whether, you know, we're going to see this trend intensify and continue throughout the year. We know as the yields of treasuries, which are still Wall Street's babies in terms of where they run for safety, they're spiking. And so as these inflation expectations continue to rise, Melody, even though, you know, the yields on junk bonds fall to the lowest in history, I think these mixed signals just portends a lot more uncertainty in the coming months. So watch your backs, ladies and gentlemen, with the places, people like those who run the big boy firms like BlackRock. Make sure you're adequately invested in your safe haven assets. Gold and silver.
800-375-4188. How's that, Dave?
I like that. Sounds like a commercial to me.
Yeah, how about that? Gee, who would know? Let's see. I don't think this is any big surprise, is it, that China is drawing? It is kind of a surprise because all you hear about, oh, China's so bad, and they are. But yet, investors, it doesn't matter to investors. China's markets are drawing record high chunks of global capital, and that's particularly from the U.S.-based investors. As more money flows to China's financial markets, its political leaders will have a clear tool to increase the country's political power. Mm-hmm. So that's going to give China another potent weapon to challenge the United States. And
multinationals.
Yeah. China's goal is, you know, we know they came out and said they. This is where I get a little conflicting. You know, China's going to say they're going to, they don't think there should be a one reserve currency, but you know darn well that they have a goal and that their renminbi is to be international, is internationalization. And no, I can't say that five times either. But
Renminbi internationalization. Oof, that's hard.
I couldn't
that's
even say
that's harder than the other thing you said earlier.
I couldn't even, renminbi, I couldn't even say internationalization once. Anyway, so as we have more foreigners invested in these mainland Chinese companies, you know, the government bonds and other securities that trade in their currency.
That's an eight-syllable word, by the way.
Pardon?
That's an eight-syllable word, by the way.
Okay.
Internationalization.
For some reason, you just want to say it faster. I don't know why.
Yeah, get through it.
Yes. But so, you know, as you have more foreigners invest in the mainland Chinese companies, you have these government bonds, other securities that trade in China's currencies. They're going to be forced to buy and hold that currency. So the more the global investors hold these Chinese assets, the more international important China's currency becomes. So Borst, he's a director of Chinese or China research at the Seafair Capital Partners. He says you can't have a globally important currency unless you give investors a safe place to park it. And China has long weaponized access to its domestic consumer markets for geopolitical gain, forcing airlines, hotels, Hollywood studios, and many other companies to avoid crossing the Chinese Communist Party's red line, Dave.
Oh, my. Red Rover, let the multinationals come over.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, my word. Well, as China's capital markets become more lucrative, a lot of observers out there expect they'll leverage access to those markets in the same way. I mean, we see in Hong Kong, for example, where Chinese national security law requires banks to freeze the assets of pro-democracy activists accused of terrorism or sedition for political organizing activities. You know, as of last year, the market cap of Chinese companies listed on the mainland, as well as Hong Kong and overseas indexes like New York, London, and Singapore, $17 trillion. The vast majority of that, $12 trillion, was on the Chinese mainland exchanges. Now, that total rivals the combined market cap of the London Stock Exchange and the Euronext. Mm-hmm. But China is a long way to go before the renminbi, or yuan, as we like to call it, becomes internationalized. That's in part because China's leaders are reluctant to make the currency fully convertible, since doing so would force them to give up some control over capital outflows as well as domestic fiscal policy. So, guess what? China's developing a digital currency, a digital yuan, a digital renminbi, call it what you want. And the global payments giant SWIFT has partnered with China's central bank to help develop it. Now, a digital yuan could speed the internationalization of China's currency and expand Beijing's geopolitical sway around the world sooner than later. How soon that is? That's a good question. I wonder if that's one of the things you can bet on in Las Vegas, Melody.
I don't know. I bet you could.
Yeah, you never know.
You could. Let's see. You're always going to hear officials, government officials, be optimistic. I mean, rarely are they're not. You know, because they don't want a panic to set in. They don't want people to really understand. They don't want to give you reason to think because it might upset the apple cart. So here you have the St. Louis Fed president, James Bullard. He said he doesn't see a bubble in asset prices. No. And he doubts that the Fed needs to start tightening policy anytime soon. Didn't Powell just recently say that, I mean, they're going to be accommodative no matter what? I mean, that's just what they say. I think they intentionally say one thing and the other guy says something else and again. You have the prices surging in the stock market. You have these alternative assets like Bitcoin. And the Fed officials have faced repeated questions about whether the low rates and trillions in bonds buying have helped create this dangerously high valuations. Bullard said he believes they aren't clear signs of excesses. I'd like to know what he would consider as clear signs of excesses. If this isn't, what is? But he did concede that stocks are highly valued on the whole.
My word.
I know. It's just like, and these guys are the ones who get the big bucks. You know, it just cracks me up sometimes. Biggest thing in equities is really these tech firms, and how high are you going to value these guys? So where investors want to value those is really driving a big chunk of the market, he said. And he says, I'm not really sure you want to call that part a bubble. Isn't that where the biggest bubble maybe is? That's just normal investing, he says.
So. Oh, my gosh. You know, excuse me. I once saw, I wish I could remember where, but it's not as important as just the fact that, trust me, please. I once saw someone, a Washington newspaper writer, refer to Federal Reserve Board governors as shepherds. Now, I think he meant it in a much more polite, sanguine way, if you will. I see their shepherding in another respect, Melody. The more time goes on, the more I see they're just trying to pull the wool over our eyes. And that's how they're shepherding. It's the promotion. I mean, I know they say they want certainty, that certainty is good for, say, stock prices. But with, you know, one hand saying the one thing and the other, in some ways, I wonder why the markets aren't even more volatile than they are. I won't call it double talk. I'll be polite and just say differing opinions. But they're rampant and they're virtually all the time. Although maybe, I don't know, maybe that's just the noise that you learn to ignore along the way. And maybe it just counts what happens every so often when the FOMC gets together and decides. Usually unanimously, sometimes with one or two dissenting votes, and maybe that's all that matters. I just know that it just makes it so much harder for the Joe and Sally investors out there to have, I guess, to have trust. In a system, and that's why that maybe that's the most important reason, ladies and gentlemen, to make sure you have enough of gold and silver in your portfolio. That with all the uncertainty out there and the lack of trust rising, actually the lack of trust in our everyday institutions, protecting yourself and your families. Against that black swan, which is out there. It may be among us. We just can't see it as it is, or it just hasn't fully materialized. In any event, Melody, we know the Fed slashed its short-term borrowing rate near zero. It's been there for a while. It's buying $120 billion of bonds every month, just to keep the economy liquid. And so the question is, when might the Fed start pulling back on these actions? Well, Bullard says that day isn't imminent, although once again, he says it's monitoring very closely to see if this does get out of control. again, pointing or noting that signs are pointing to a strong economic rebound this year. Anyway.
I mean, I get it. You know, I mean, when you think about it, our whole system truly is based on the perception, maybe not just the perception, but that everything is okay and the stock market is where you need to be. Our financial system, I believe, is truly based on that. When you think about when you think about these pensions and these retirement accounts, there's, what, $22, $23 trillion, Dave?
That's a lot. That's larger than our GDP.
And think about what happens when those trillions of dollars are lost. I mean, it's just not a recession or the Great Recession or that we face. And they're to the degree of pumping in trillions of dollars to keep it going. People should be, I don't know, Dave, I'd be scared out of my mind if all I had, all my money is in the paper markets without it being protected with anything else that's truly real. Because it is just a matter of time on how much they can do that. I mean, when you have a bankrupt household, how long can you rob Peter to pay Paul? To keep it going, to keep the roof over your head. You can do it for a while, and eventually you can't. Really, government's no different. They just have bigger numbers, but it's going to hurt worse. So, yeah, I get why they try to send these these mixed signals, and they play with you so you can't figure it out exactly where they're at. I mean, Dave, it just blows my mind that I don't know if this is true. I think it was referencing the Fed, that they have now $35 trillion. I don't know their debt load anymore.
Who's that?
The Fed.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I have to look that up. I don't know that off the top of my head.
But all of this, again, brings you signals about inflation. And we've had this upended supply chain through this pandemic that is helping to push these. Are we at break already?
Yeah, that Todd, I'm telling you, he's pushing the clock forward.
I think he is. I think he is. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cedarstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cedarstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. CommonSenseTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And I just want to touch on this topic before we move on, about the rising food inflation that we've seen over the past year, raising prices of everything from shredded cheese to peanut butter. It's all about to get worse. We've seen this upended food supply. The pandemic upended the food supply chains. It's paralyzed the shipping, sickening workers, ultimately is raising the consumer grocery costs around the world. Now you have farmers, especially ones raising cattle, hogs, poultry. They're all getting squeezed by the highest corn and soybean prices in 7 years. It's lifted the cost of feeding their herds by 30% or more. To stay profitable, producers, including Tyson Foods, they're, guess what, increasing prices. That's going to ripple through the supply chain. And you're going to see it show up in the coming months as higher price tags for beef, pork, chicken, not just here, but everywhere around the world. Feed prices go up and down, and you tend to take the rough with the smooth. But when it rallies as much as it has, it starts to impact massively on businesses. And this is from the Mark Gorton. He's the managing director at the British chicken and turkey producer, Traditional Norfolk Poultry. He said the last time grains were this expensive was after the U.S. drought of 2012. And meat prices saw a dramatic run-up. Now meat is again poised to become a driver of food, global food inflation. So, yeah, I can remember that, where hamburger was, what, $20 a pound or something like that? So, Dave...
Kobe.
Yeah, can't imagine. But... anything you'd like to say on that?
I don't think so. We're seeing it in different play. I mean, Brazil is the biggest poultry exporter. Its cost of raising chickens jumped 39%.
Wow.
Last month, it rose again by another 6%. I don't know if it exports much to the States here. But we know that the profitability of meat operations in Europe, profitability is taking a nosedive there because of high feed expenses and also stifled demand. A lot of farmers being forced to exit the market. UN's Food and Agriculture Organization says global meat prices climbed for a fourth straight month. Corn futures have risen 28%, soybeans 18%. We'll see how it's going to be after we get through the pandemic. I think that'll, we're going to need probably a full year at least after that. To see what kind of world we live in.
Wow. Yeah, this is just a brief here. And, when you look at the headlines, it's like, somebody's finally going to. Michael Corbett, he's slated to retire. He's Citigroup CEO. And headline news is he's going to get a $5 million pay cut. And so the Citigroup's board delivered that to him on his way out the door. But you know, Dave, what was it? It was 24 million.
Yeah. If you think it went from 5 million to zero,
guess again.
There you go. The bugger walked away with 19 smackers.
Yeah.
Not too bad for a year's work.
But yet, and then he's responsible for, you know, all the fines and, I mean, again, gets 5 million taken away from him and, nobody goes to jail. No one is ever held accountable and so on, Dave.
That's like Jamie Dimon being the chair CEO of JP Morgan Chase and threw 5 felony charges that the company pleaded guilty to. And, you know, the Fed and the OCC, the SEC, you know, they say you've got to kick him out. Kick him out? No. They kick out any of the boards of directors? No.
No.
Anyone go to prison? No. You know, some significant fines here and there. But still, the fines could have and should have been a lot worse, and the bank should have been, as all of the too big to fails should be forced to break up. I mean, what gets me about the Citibank one? We could talk forever about Deutsche Bank and Citigroup and J.P. Morgan Chase, but this last one, and we talked about this late last fall, that it was fined. I forget if that was an OCC or an SEC fine. For doing something supposedly so outrageous, so egregious, that the federal regulators didn't even dare to tell us what it was.
Yeah.
What? Are you kidding me? They haven't reported what the wrongdoing's been. We don't know if it's criminal. How criminal?
Well, I'm sure it is, or they would have reported it.
Yeah, or, you know, or just, you know, ethical violations. I don't know. But it ought to be serious, because the OCC did reserve the right to order the firing of all senior executive officers and all members of the board of Citibank. So, oh, my word.
It truly is amazing, but I mean they're part of the group that keeps the system going, because once that system, I mean, that is our monetary system, I believe, Dave. I mean, that's, there's no other way to look at it any longer.
It does bug the crap out of you though when you know how much taxpayer money they and their fellow too big to fails received and continue to receive.
Yep.
In huge amounts.
Yep. Yep. Well, you know, we're going to talk about, finish up the program today, your newsletter article that went out. You write in this week's edition about the state of the pandemic, but I think so much more important is the federal funding. That it's being received, and how much of it still is unspent. And you have another $1.9 trillion stimulus on the books, along with more $1 trillion spending behind that one. And yet there's trillions of dollars sitting there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, as Congress turns its attention to, you know, a new round of funding for the pandemic stimulus relief aid, and we're learning that a trillion one, that's $1 trillion 100 billion of previously approved stimulus relief aid has been unspent. It includes $21 billion for vaccine development, $37 billion for healthcare providers. Think about that, $37 billion for healthcare providers. $151 billion for supplemental unemployment insurance, $53 billion for direct stimulus payments, $123 billion earmarked for small businesses. And this is all coming out at a time when Congress, newspapers, every media outlet, kitchen tables are debating, well, with at least 10 million people still unemployed, some say it's closer to 20. Should Congress provide a new $1.9 trillion relief program with many of the same types of categories as I just mentioned, or do they provide something closer to the $600 billion alternative laid out by the Senate Republicans? I mean, with $1.1 trillion, let's do some basic math here. We can talk about what might be motivating the D's and the R's and how they're posturing for more or less funding. But $1.9 trillion, if you agree, well, that's what the nation needs over the next 6 months, say. All right, well, there's still $1.1 trillion out there. Does it make sense, or doesn't it make sense to take the $1.9 trillion, subtract $1.1 trillion, and say, well, we really just need $800 billion in new funding? And this presupposes that, you know, all these numbers are hunky-dory and that they make sense and they're, you know.
But isn't that what Trump's administration, I mean, the last one was $800 billion, so is that how they might have figured that number?
Who knows? I mean, it's possible. I mean, certainly Mnuchin would have had access to more numbers than the rest of the world at that point. So it's possible. On the other hand, now, I mean, if it's $600 billion, if that's what we need over the next 6 months, well, it looks like there's more than enough, almost twice as much as that, that's been appropriated, it's been approved, and just waiting for the Treasury to authorize its spending. So this I think presents a big dilemma, or should anyway. And it begs the question, what's everyone arguing about, Melody? And what's the importance of this unspent, unused funding? I mean, how do you frame it? How do you frame the debate moving forward? I don't know.
Well,
it's certainly a conundrum.
You know, I mean, it's
particularly for those of us who are sincerely concerned about skyrocketing debt and knowing that, you know, we're in Alice in Wonderland territory in that respect. Sorry.
No, I mean, it's, I was reading earlier today about the corruption on these numbers too. And, you know, it falls in a part where this money is being funneled too. And mm-hmm. I mean, these programs, these stimuluses, I mean, they're just so huge that they can't. I mean, when we talk about how big a trillion is, it's kind of confusing. I mean, they have over $1 trillion sitting there, unspent. It really doesn't make any sense. I mean, you have all these industries. I mean, the leisure, You know, you've got all these, I mean, these people are going to be coming for money. So I don't know if they're just sitting there and, I mean, what is this money doing? What's it doing? Just sitting there?
Well, yeah, it hasn't been created yet. I mean, it has been, it's been authorized.
It's
literally sitting, whether you believe it's a figment of imagination or, you know, real hard cash, it's sitting in or on the Treasury's balance sheet. So I guess there's a fine line sometimes between wanting to cure what ails the nation and recklessness, fiscal recklessness.
It's criminal. It actually is criminal.
And, yeah, if we go, well, we'll have to go there another day.
We will. That hour went by really fast, Dave. It was a great program. Thank you very much. And thank you, listeners, for joining us. And we'll be back tomorrow. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
There never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I can.